Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain masseur.
The battle for America is
on. The Epstein hoax is no joke, friend. Cutting through the Gordian knot, Epstein victims vow to create their own client list. Flag burning, speech, or act of war. You'll be surprised. Who's screaming at RFK? Senators with campaign bags bulging with big pharma bucks. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The Epstein hoax is no joke. Cutting through the Gordian knot, Epstein victims now to create their own client list. Wow. Allred, remember her? Yeah, she's the girl whose daughter offered $750,000 for any woman that would step forward and accuse Trump. Yeah, that's the gal. She's representing 20 women abused by Epstein. Some of Allred's clients named Prince Andrew. His family has openly shamed Andrew already. It's basically already publicly vetted. He might be offered up as a scapegoat, I think, maybe to satisfy the elitists, or what the elitists consider to be, throwing some red meat for the boars. Brad Edwards has represented 70 Epstein victims dating back to 2009. He reported that Trump was helpful in his investigations and had no reason to suspect he was involved in the trafficking of minors. Quote, "The only thing I can say about President Trump is that he is the only person who in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I wanted to talk to them. He is the only person who picked up the phone and said, 'Let's talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know,' and was very helpful in the information that he gave, and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out that helped us, and we didn't have to take a deposition of him," and so on, end quote. Now, Brad is calling on Trump to return to his former disposition on the Epstein files, because back then, he says, he didn't think it was a hoax at that time. He expresses confusion over why Trump changed his position regarding the full and complete release of the Epstein files. Well, has he? He's called it a hoax. He has given it that characterization, but he hasn't blocked release of the information. I personally believe that Trump, who's pretty close to all of this, he knows what the Democrats intend or are trying to do with it. They're trying to build a snare and dig a pit for him to fall in. I dealt with that Thursday night during the brain massage live. And he's not obstructing release of the files. He's only said, make sure you don't hurt innocent people. So I think that Brad is confusing Trump's designation of the Epstein thing as a hoax with him designating the fact that Epstein was a predator and that he ran a trafficking ring was a hoax. That's not what he's saying. Bondi announces Joint Task Force Alpha describes it as a tip of the spear of justice coming after the traffickers. She reports 12 defendants charged with operating a massive illegal smuggling ring. They were bringing illegal aliens from Cuba into the U.S. and doing it for profit. They coached their clients, including children, on how to get past border guards or border agents. And they charged up to $40,000 for each trafficked child and adult. And they used Zelle as a means to transfer over $7 million on this particular scheme. And then they were found to have amassed $18 million in this work of trafficking. In Vermont, Norma Lorenzo was indicted for working with Canadian co-conspirators from Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, and El Salvador. Children being transferred to private residences, I think in Vermont, some of the cities up there. And the police began encountering illegal aliens from 97 different countries through this operation, including China, Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, North Korea, Yemen, not the sorts of countries we usually hear about who simply want to come here and take advantage of our economy. No, these are enemy countries. In Texas, Joint Task Force Alpha secured the extradition of three men from Guatemala charged with what Bondi called a mass casualty alien smuggling event. That was a semi-truck hauling at least 160 illegals that crashed, killing more than 50. And again this week in Texas, four were charged for smuggling unaccompanied children into the U.S. from Mexico. These monsters drugged unaccompanied minors into a THC-induced sleep. And when passing through customs, they keep them quiet. You know, that's what you do when shushing doesn't work, right? One child was overdosed and had to be hospitalized. A lot of this is coming across our Canadian border. One family was being smuggled through Canada in sub-zero weather, and the entire family died frozen to death. A trafficker working to bring illegals from Mexico was captured. This guy received $30,000 for every 10 illegals. He successfully got to the Rio Grande, and then he got an additional $30,000 bonus for every 10 he got across alive. This is what's going on out there. Trump isn't complicit in trafficking and all this. He's the only president that's come along that has done anything about this. Now, here's the devil for you. Here to steal and destroy and kill a child of Satan, a fiend of hell. His name is Gökhan Bachi. He's here illegally from Turkey. You know, Gavin Newsom here in California has welcomed him, shielded him, protected him in the sanctuary state of Newsom's California. We hope to get it out of his hands soon. Now, I know you California liberals are so proud of him. This guest of Newsom, this protected, beloved criminal of the liberals, was arrested for raping multiple children at a daycare in Sacramento. Now, I didn't check, but I wonder if Newsom could see the daycare from his office window, or if he drove by it while tooling around Sacramento, perhaps on his way to French Laundry. The self-righteous Christian who supports this sanctuary business for criminals, they need to read the Bible. Scripture requires strangers, and that would be the name for migrants back then, to obey the laws and honor the customs of the people. Otherwise, they were viewed as enemies. That takes me to the next discussion, flag burning. Is it merely an expression of protest against the actions of our government, or has it become a declaration of war against America? Or is that what it's always been? I grew up in the 60s. We saw a lot of this business during our involvement in Nam. I had mixed feelings about it. Flag burning, I mean. I wrote a few war protest songs. They weren't America protest songs, though. I thought the whole America thing was very, very good. Made sense. During civics and junior high, I was impressed by our system and felt strongly that it was, I thought, obviously organized around sound principles, the consent of the governed, truth, justice, American way, all of that. For me, I could see the obvious effort to build into the system respect for the protection of justice and law. I liked it. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream in 1963 inspired me. It seemed to reflect, in my feeling, the noblest aspirations of our government is founded. So all the talk about America being unjust really didn't make sense to me. But that we had some bad people within the system corrupting it, yeah, well, I could see that. My point is, I never turned against the government as founded. So when someone burned a flag in the streets during a protest, it seemed like a dumb thing to do is the way I looked at it. I mean, the flag represented the antithesis of what it was they were protesting. I didn't think it made sense to attack the symbol of the freedoms they were using to express their objections. Nevertheless, I did accept the argument that free speech included speech against the government, and I still do, that in fact a redress of grievances was specifically included in the First Amendment. And while I always thought it was hypocritical to attack the flag in the name of free speech, it's weird, I was unwilling to say it should be against the law to express political speech in that way, even though at the time I was naive enough to think these people were on the side of liberty for all, even while burning the only flag that symbolized that ideal. Now, here's a brief history of flag burning, and it opened my eyes. Hopefully, it'll open yours. The first instance was on May 10th, 1861 in Mississippi, at least the first recorded instance, during the Civil War. And this was about 1 month after Mississippi joined the Southern Rebellion and seceded from the Union. So it was a clear statement of separation from America as founded, a repudiation of the federal government under Lincoln. It was an act of war against the United States. We saw no more of that until 1919 in the aftermath of World War I. And there was considerable worry at that time about the incursion of radical leftism into America. Communism had raised its ugly visage in Soviet Russia, and agitators for communism, Marxism, and so on began stirring up the people in America, among the workers, of course, creating what is called the first Red Scare. The shift from flag burning being directly connected to calls for the elimination of America, the destruction of America, you know, a symbolic call, a rallying cry to destroy this country, from that to being viewed as merely an act of protest, exercising the fundamental right of free speech, well, that began in 1931, when California had a law forbidding flying the red or the communist flag. A California teacher at a summer camp in San Bernardino, California, that was run by a communist-affiliated organization, led the campers to raise the red communist flag every morning and recite the so-called Workers' Pledge. It was a communist pledge. And it went like this: I pledge allegiance to the workers' red flag and the cause for which it stands, one aim throughout our lives, freedom for the working class, end quote. Now, California at that time was more American than communist and had a law at that time prohibiting the display of the red flag as a symbol of opposition to organized government, an invitation to anarchic action, or as an aid to seditious propaganda. Now, the Supreme Court of 1931 voted 7-2 under Chief Justice Charles Evans Hughes, saying that the prohibition of the raising of this communist flag on American soil violates free speech. Huh. In 1932, most states had flag desecration statutes. But in 1967, a large anti-Vietnam War demonstration included flag burning. And in 1968, the Flag Protection Act was passed, making it a crime to mutilate, deface, burn, or trample upon the American flag, really only reasserting laws that were already in place. In 1969, some American war hero named Sidney Street burned the flag that covered his father-in-law's casket, a war hero, and he burned it in protest against the killing of the civil rights leader James Meredith. He was outraged by this and took his flag and burned it in Brooklyn, New York. He was arrested and charged and convicted. His conviction was thrown out by the Supreme Court, but the court held back from ruling against New York's law against desecration of the flag. That isn't why they threw out his conviction. The court threw out his conviction because it said, the court said, quote, the record did not clarify whether Street was punished for his words or for his act of burning the flag, end quote. You see, his words were protected free speech, and since the conviction did not distinguish between his words and the action of burning the flag, the court overruled his conviction. So, that's the history, friend. The historical background of flag burning is directly connected with the insurrectionist spirit, communists, anarchists, people who hate America. It has never been merely an expression of political opposition to some policy. Its first instance was an expression of a call to war against the United States. In the second instance, it was connected with the communist flag being raised up against the U.S. flag. The anti-war demonstrations that included flag burning were likely instigated by communists, I heard that often back then, but carried out by many who thought, perhaps, they were protesting the war, not understanding that, as ill-advised as was that war, it was a war against communist aggression, and the burning of the American flag took the wrong side of that issue. I've come to believe the flag burning thing has always been driven by the spirit of hatred for America. Funny how many are up in arms about Trump signing this executive order against flag burning as if it's somehow against the law. when in fact, it's the law of the land. Hold on, my friends, to the break. I'll be right back.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, but the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Senator Tim Kaine, quote, "The notion that rights don't come from laws or the government, but come from the Creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. The statement that our rights do not come from laws or government is extremely troubling," end quote, says every tyrant. Does the Islamic view of divine rights, if they even have one articulated anywhere, does it equate to a Christian's perspective of inalienable rights? You've got to be kidding me. This same character later in this tirade here warns us that Islam persecutes every other religion, you know, and anyone who objects to or resists the rule of Islam. Well, you got that part right. There is no notion of inalienable rights from God in Islam. The idea in that religion is that their God, Allah, commands them to impose his rule over the souls of all mankind. Islam does not recognize a divine right of individual autonomy, liberty of the soul, freedom of religion, and so on, or speech, or any sort of inalienable right to bear arms, none of that. Islam teaches it is the responsibility of every Muslim to coerce all mankind to bow to Allah and to acknowledge the rule of Muhammad, his prophet. Now, they would rather you do it willingly, you know, but if you don't, well, we have other options. You can become a slave to a Muslim, or if you don't like that, we can just kill you. Christianity declares the command of God to all men everywhere to repent and to believe on Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is King and indeed the Archon, the Prince over all the kings of the world, that his kingdom is above every other kingdom. True, but Christians are strictly forbidden to use the sword of civil judgment, Romans 13:1-6, to compel the faith or religious expression of any person on the basis that every person, Christian or non-Christian, has the inalienable right of consent to Christ, soul liberty, to choose to repent and believe or to rebel and refuse to believe. Christianity does not compel the soul of any man through coercion to receive Christ. That's an old Catholic sin that was corrected in the Reformation, or at least they made a run at it. We don't even believe in any nonsense about the divine right of kings like the Catholics did. We know the truth will make you free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So we preach the truth under the empowering of the Holy Spirit of Christ. But we do not pass laws that require anyone to believe or attend church or read their Bible or pray. Those questions are left between the soul of man and his Creator. You had best pray, friend. Even if you're not a praying man, you'd best pray that idiots like this Democrat Tim Kaine never convince you or this country that your rights are in his power, that your rights come to you from men like him and from their laws. Your rights come from the one true God, and no man can separate you from your inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No man can take away or separate you from your right to free speech, freedom of your faith, or any of the rights articulated in the first 10 amendments of our Constitution. Now, that's an interesting conversation we can have another time, but we'll have to save it for elsewhere. There are some man-made rights, true, and we'll discuss that perhaps Saturday night. Who are these senators that are screaming at RFK? Senators with campaign bags bulging with big pharma bucks, that's who. I've got a chart here that shows how many pharma bucks Bernie has. What's that? 23 million plus? How about Warren? Let's find her. 19 million plus? Yeah, I vetted these numbers, by the way, and I found them to be representative of my own research. Old Man Sanders was on the attack. So, Mr. RFK, who's telling the truth about the efficacy of vaccines? Trump or you? Well, he put it this way, quote, Secretary Kennedy, are President Trump and the medical community right? Or do you still believe the COVID vaccine was, quote, the deadliest vaccine ever made, end quote? Now, Kennedy's response is, quote, I said that in terms of the VAERS reports. And when rudely interrupted with an arrogant, haughty spirit coming down on him from on high, Bernie here, repeating his question at him, Kennedy said, at the time Trump was leading this nation very ably, by the way, through this COVID crisis, Kennedy said, quote, that particular vaccine, which perfectly matched the virus that was circulating then, and I have no idea how many lives it saved, but it saved quite a few, end quote. The facts show that during the period following Trump's first term, several boosters were released. This was when the VAERS reports began to become, well, worrisome to say the least, and fulfilled the expectations of some virologists, very highly respected and rated virologists, who were canceled by the left, showing that not only were the vaccines causing injuries and death, but also that they were ineffective in stopping the spread. In fact, could exacerbate that. And those who received the vaccine, it turns out, the boosters and so on, were more likely to get sick than those who refused the jabs. Now, that's just facts, friend. Every senator who received significant donations connected with Big Pharma attacked RFK like rabid dogs. They must be forced to recuse themselves from voting on health policy that affects the interests of the companies that paid their campaigns. Pocahontas Warren launched on RFK. She attacked him right off the starting line with angry, aggressive tone and manner. So, last November, quote, while you were under consideration to become Secretary of Health and Human Services, Mr. Kennedy, you said, if vaccines are working for somebody, I'm not going to take them away. No exceptions, no ifs and buts and so on. You would not take away vaccines from anyone who wanted them. Then, last week, she went on to say, you announced that the COVID-19 vaccine is no longer approved for healthy people under the age of 65. In announcing the change, you said the vaccine will be available for anyone who wants it. Now, obviously, both things can't be true at the same moment, end quote. Really? Are you that? Oh, help me, Father. Both things can be true at the same moment. You see, it's like a Democrat to assume the government recommendations and so on are mandates, laws. What else can explain this? RFK said anyone who wants one can have one. And by the way, the HHS or its FDA department has no power to legislate. It can't enforce its recommendations. It is perfectly consistent with the position of these departments to say, we don't recommend the shot for healthy people under 65, and at the same time say, anyone who wants one can have one. When someone argues irrationally like this, with anger and emotions out of control, you know it's about something else. It's about the money thing. They want to have their hands in the money pool. RFK is closing in on their racket, and it's rattling their cage. Practically screaming, Pocahontas said, I mean, she's on the warpath, you are putting American babies' health at risk, American seniors' health at risk, all Americans' health at risk, and you should resign, end quote. Hey, your war paint is showing. Cool the political rhetoric and get real and honest. Admit that, first of all, that you don't know half as much about this as RFK does. You have not done the research he has done, nor are you immersed in the subject as he is. You would do well to shut up and listen for once in your life, you windbag. Calm down. Everybody, all experienced brain massage listeners know better than to accuse me of just name calling. You know, shut up is a perfectly appropriate retort to her insulting rant, and windbag is perfectly descriptive of her display of rage. Nothing but a bag of wind. The difference between you and RFK, Pocahontas, extends to one more thing. He is not in the pocket of Pfizer or Moderna or any of them. You are. And so is Bernie. And old Bernie, he gets all hot and self-righteous and flailing about with his arms. Man, this guy's on fire. I mean, literally screaming at everyone in the room about being corrupt. You're corrupt and you're corrupt and you're corrupt and you've taken it. He says, just trying to deflect. You talk about deflection. Should be used in psychology classes. And RFK says, I don't know what you're talking about. And Bernie says, yes, you do. You know what I'm talking about. And Bernie's in full meltdown. It might be time for Bernie and Pocahontas to step down. Here's a report put together by Cheryl Atkinson back in 2006. Yeah, listen and learn how long this kind of nonsense has been going on. She reported that over a 20-year period, and that would be from 1980 to 2001, flu shots for seniors were heavily promoted and their use increased from 15% to 65% by 2001. The promotional angle was the expectation of reducing deaths among seniors. But the opposite occurred. Seniors' death rate increased. So, enter Fauci. The NIH did a study attempting to find other factors that might have caused the increase in senior deaths. But no matter how they crunched the numbers, Atkinson says it came out the same. The shots did not reduce senior deaths. So NIH refused to allow its researchers to be interviewed by Atkinson. So she hunted down one of the researchers not employed by NIH, Dr. Tom Reichert. He testified that the researchers discovered they had incendiary materials, end quote, and they didn't explain what that means, I'm not sure. He testified that they expected to discover the vaccinations had been helpful. He said the team was astonished to discover the vaccines did not help reduce senior deaths. He said not only did they not find vaccine helpful in America to reduce senior deaths after multiple efforts, but they also looked at other countries and found the same result. Vaccines were not efficacious to reduce overall deaths. Now, for the absurd conclusion out of that, Atkinson says effectively that it's been decided, hey, we see that the shot does not reduce deaths among seniors. So what we'll try next is to give the shot to all the kids so they won't give the flu to seniors. Unbelievable. I had no idea this sort of inane and evil thinking. Profit. What a bunch of greedy people. Just thinking of a way to capitalize on a bad report and then even make more money on it. How wicked, how evil, how vile these people are. And by the way, Atkinson reported for CBS. I've lit the lamps at Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can call me by dialing 1-805-314-2114. That's 1-805-314-2114. Or you can go to brainmassage.net and send me an email, brainmassage.net. Have access to all kinds of brain massages. Go to brainmassage.net and enjoy a whole array of brain massage episodes. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.